What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 143 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. This is going to be the first episode of Season of Dawn. We are coming to you, I guess, 2 weeks before Christmas time. But this is actually the last episode before our Christmas break, because we are not going to record an episode the week before Christmas, because I am traveling the entire time. And we figured, you know, we've been working hard all year. Why not take a little bit of time off, take a little vacation, try to unwind and everything like that. But that is neither here nor there. So what we do have to talk about tonight is how we've been feeling about the Dawning, and also a neat little glitch that I discovered in the Crucible that I was telling Kutch I was not going to share with anyone because I wanted to enjoy for myself and not have it get patched, but it has already been shared and spread out in the wild. So we'll talk about that here as well too. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcher. And how are you doing tonight, Kit?
Well, Mercules can't complain, man. Doing pretty well. So far, mostly enjoying what we've got with Season of the Dawn. Definitely looking forward to some more of the content coming loose, but I'm also enjoying the fact that this really is a season where I feel like I'm going to be able to grind out a lot of the quests that have been backing up. And it kind of feels good to feel like there's no real stress, like I don't have to grind anything out right now. I can just kind of, you know, chill out, play the game, and be relaxed about it. So that feels good. How about you?
I'm not doing too bad. You know, Season of the Dawn has actually been seemingly a pleasant surprise in terms of the amount of content that it's brought. I think Sundial is already, I'm enjoying it a decent amount more than I liked Vex Offensive.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely appreciating that. I think they brought some really interesting new weapons into the mix. Some of the exotics are seemingly really, really cool, although I haven't quite gotten my hands on any of them besides the obvious Symmetry, which I am enjoying.
I do have the new Hunter pants. Haven't really...
The ones that drop bombs?
Yeah.
I'm really jealous of that. I would love to use those. I think those look like a ton of fun.
Yeah, I need to really spend some time dedicatedly putting them through the paces. I haven't done that yet. I've been focused on trying to knock out as much story stuff as I can.
Yeah. Same. I've been doing all the quests and stuff like that. I'm looking forward to meeting Saint 14, which isn't a spoiler because it was in the trailer.
Yeah, we know. Everyone knows.
It's been good so far. You know, I'm gonna reserve judgment on some of the subclass changes until I've had a little bit more time to play. I am split pretty heavily on my initial feedback right now on both of them. You know, I'm obviously not a fan of a cluttered sandbox, and I feel like this has definitely cluttered the sandbox. The Warlock movement abilities have been quite infuriating to now have to start paying attention to a third dimension of Destiny, whereas, you know, you always are having to look on ground level, but now you've got Warlocks that can float seemingly indefinitely and also be accurate in the air. And so that's a little something that we're not really used to. And the Hunter throwing knife has been equal parts infuriating and extraordinarily fun. You know, I do initially think that the animation is probably long enough to keep it relatively balanced, but at the same time, I've already seen good players basically just using the throwing knife and not even using their weapon. Because once you get the hang of it and once you get the timing down, I mean, you basically treat it like a fusion rifle, right? You've got to pre-charge it, and you can't hold the charge once you do it. So it's basically a fusion rifle with better range.
I've been
and it bounces.
I've been practicing with it in PvE. I haven't really done more than dip my toes into PvP, so I don't really want to say anything about how it felt in the Crucible yet. But I will say that in PvE, it's like a friggin' magnet. Like, you cannot... The only way you miss the headshot is if your cursor is not on the enemy at all. It's very difficult to do. Or Vex are always a little easier to miss headshots on. But any enemy that has a normal head, a normal crit spot, it's very hard to miss.
Yeah. I mean, here's my initial thought is that it does have a lot of aim assist, a lot of targeting.
Yeah.
It has every bit as much as a standard knife does, perhaps more, but the standard knives have a lot of aim assist. I don't find it difficult to hit the target when I time it correctly in Crucible. And that's worrisome to me because I've only been using it for 2 days and I'm already starting to get the hang of it. And it's different for me because you're leading engagements with it as opposed to it being a backup, right?
Right.
The fast knife in D1 when I used it for me was always like, oh shit, throw the knife, right? It was like, oh, I'm surprised, or oh, I'm about to lose this engagement, or oh, I've run out of ammo. It was like a backup, right? Now I'm like leading the engagement with that knife. And the thing is not only are you leading the engagement, but if you hit it, you're finishing the engagement because you've killed them because it's a one shot. So my initial thought is it may have been better to have removed the aim assist from it, maybe made it travel more slowly, and then not had the wind up take as long, right? Because my worry is that once people get very used to it, it's just like fusion rifles right now, right? Like, what do people complain about on fusion rifles? Well, my defense of fusion rifles has always been, my defense of fusion rifles has always been, well, you have to learn how to pre-charge, right? And most people don't put in the effort or the time to learn how to pre-charge, especially because most fusions, except for one, are sitting in a slot. Sorry, most fusions, except for one, are not that great, anyways. It's really just Arintel, and now I guess Alantha is also another high impact fusion that can roll with good perks. Most fusions aren't great. It's really just a couple that are. And in addition, they take up a weapon slot that has a lot of really popular weapons in it, and you have to give up some stuff. So most people don't want to do it, right? This throwing knife is just your melee. It doesn't take up a weapon slot, and if you kill someone with it, you get it right back. So I feel like a lot more people are going to put the time and the effort into learning how to pre-charge the knife. And in addition, it actually has better range than most fusion rifles do, right? So the difference is, and I'm not sure yet, I haven't practiced sprint canceling to see if I can sprint cancel the throw, right? Once you start it. But if you can, I mean, that's going to pretty much negate the only real drawback of it. It might be too fast for you to sprint cancel it, but so I'm a little worried about that. Again, guys, these are just first impressions, right? Not we're still going to have time to play. We're going to have several weeks to play before we really dive deep into it, but first impressions, Hammer Titan is every bit as annoying as I knew it would be. You basically cannot escape now. If a Hammer Titan slams the ground and you are within eyesight of it, it's going to kill you. You can't jump over it, can't run away from it. I think I got killed at like 40 something meters from one earlier today. I was all the way down at the end of the hallway in Retribution, and his one fire tornado killed three people that were in the hallway. And it's like, that's not super fun. And I guess those are kind of like the major changes, right? It was the throwing knife for the hunter, the really, really hard to dodge fire tornado for the Titan, and then the floatiness for the warlock.
I think those are good ways to sum up the big three subclass shifts right now.
All right. We have housekeeping to get out of the way though, I'm pretty sure. Did you want to thank one of the patrons who changed their thing, or do we not do that? Do we just
I'll throw out a big thanks to well, let me see this happen. You do your bit first.
All right, we have an iTunes review. It is a very nice iTunes review. It's probably the longest iTunes review that has ever been left for us. So it's from Brofree Boy on Monday of this week. He says, all you want for everything D2, 5 stars. He said, I've been listening to this podcast since the beginning. With that being said, this podcast is everything you need to know about PvE and PvP guns and gear. Would highly recommend. It's a short but sweet podcast. Also, I've been playing on PS4 from the beginning of D1. My claim to fame is I'm an Iron Lord. I have over 1,500 Iron Banner packages collected. So if you don't believe me, look up my gamer tag. It's Brofi with an I, meaning it's a capital I and then a 3 and then Rophy, for those of you who do want to look them up. You might think I'm crazy for playing IB so much, but the reason for that is because my son and I played it in D1 back when it was great. And he says, hashtag bring back how it played in D1. Neutral the zones again. When capping zones, it's just too fast in D2, no time to set up. Although my son doesn't play as much as he did in D1, when IB is on, it always reminds me of great times he had. If it wasn't for this podcast, I wouldn't be half the player I am today. Keep up the good work, and thanks for all the hard work you guys do. P.S. Whatever happened to the third guy that was on this podcast, he has missed. I hope he is doing well. Also, if you did look me up and saw that I only have 1,500 packages, he said, I have 1,000 more in my vault. I can't wait for Dawn. I love this game. Shout out to my old clanmate, Rybear86. It's been too long. So, Rybear, I'm not sure if you're listening to this podcast, but if you are, your boy Brophy is giving you a shout out. In addition, the third guy that was on the podcast, NK Cougar, way, way back when, for those of you who have been around with us since year one, he had some real life things come up and basically got out of video games. But We have connected every once in a while since then. A few months back, he reached out to me on Reddit, just said what was up, said he was reading some of the articles, thought about getting back into Destiny again, but he didn't know if he'd really have the time to do anything more than just play casually. So, as far as I know, everything is good with him. We do miss him. We would always love to have him back, but real life does take precedence over hobbies like podcasting, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
But thank you very much, Brophy, for the review. We really appreciate it. And remember, if you guys want to leave us a review, we will read the review out loud. We will offer a response or a thank you or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be 5 stars, but we do appreciate the 5-star reviews a whole lot.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I guess all I can really say is thanks. That was a lot.
Like I said, it's probably the longest review we've ever had. But all reviews are good reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember everything he said now.
Yeah, all reviews are good reviews.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate it. I appreciate the ongoing support and listenership. That's a big part of what I think helps keep this motivating, keep this fun, is we know that people are tuning in to hear us. It's not just an echo chamber. So appreciate that. And I do want to throw a thank you out to Toby Ruckus, who recently upped his pledge. So thank you so much for that. It's not something we have done in the past. So if you've upped your pledge in the past, thank you. Maybe we'll try to make that a thing that we do from now on, throw in an additional shout out.
And we did have a patron who discovered that we have a patrons channel in our Discord
Yes.
recently, right? And you helped him get that set up and helped him hop into the Discord channel and join us there for some fun and
Yeah,
games.
absolutely. Always a good reminder, whether you're a patron or not, join the Discord, come hang out. There are so many conversations going on right now that I cannot keep up with them all, which is crazy because at the beginning of the year, that was not the case, right? I think I was starting solidly half the conversations at the beginning of the year, and it is very different now. It's really taken on life of its own. It's a fun place to hang out, so join us.
Yeah, it's got its own little community going on in there. We've got what is it, tags or roles for your various consoles that you can play
Yep.
on, your various platforms you can play on. We've got LFG channels for all that stuff. We've got off-topic channels. I think we have well over 600 or 700 people in there right now, chatting away. And we also have a Destiny Science channel where you can learn all the Destiny Science stuff if you want to know numbers or you want people to help you test, everything like that. So as always, guys, join the Discord channel, but I think that gets the housekeeping out of the way. Except we have to thank, as always, our sponsors, Goose and ZenSoCal. Thank you guys so much for being our sponsors. You guys keep this podcast commercial free and listener supported, and we really appreciate that.
Absolutely. It's always fun to say listener supported, because I grew up listening to public radio, and so I've listened through so many pledge drives in my life. So anyway, it just brings back memories. I'm getting old. Let's move on.
Getting nostalgic in here for PBS and them having the telethon, right?
Let me go grab my cane real quick. I'll be right back.
Okay, so guys, it is the first week of Season of Dawn, which is an odd name. I keep wanting to say Season of the Dawning, Season of the Dawn, but I think it's just Season of Dawn, right? Isn't that how it is? Or am I completely incorrect on this?
I have some tabs here. They specifically called it Season of Dawn, and then they've also got the Dawning, which is where the confusion comes in, of course. And then we've got Dawn of the Dead, and things just get wacky.
There. So it's only been out for about 2 days. As always, we're recording on Thursday night, so it came out Tuesday. I was able to play a little bit on Tuesday, not a ton. Played some on Wednesday, and then I've played a little bit earlier today. So I've gotten not quite all the way through the introductory quest, although I will have completed those probably by the end of tomorrow. I've gotten myself a couple of the new weapons, a couple of the new perks. Got a new perk called Lead from Gold, which every time you pick up heavy ammo, grants you special ammo as well, which is actually a really nice perk. I was saying if I had a fusion rifle that had that, with the linear fusion rifle glitch and the fusion rifle glitch, basically both weapons would be feeding each other ammo, and I thought that would be really phenomenal. But I'm liking it so far. I'm actually so if we set Shadowkeep aside from Season of Undying, I actually already right off the bat like Season of Dawn a lot more than I like Season of Undying.
I think I agree with that right now. I did not get super into the Season of Undying stuff. But I still enjoy some of the moon stuff. I actually still need to go spend some more time on the moon.
Ah, but that was Shadowkeep, though.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like a lot of the stuff that I liked about last season actually wasn't last season. It was actually Shadowkeep.
Right.
And I have a feeling that some of the maybe the emotional reactions that people have had saying that they feel like there's not a lot of content right now are because Shadowkeep came out at the same time. And so they're looking back, and I could be wrong. There may be some people who were like, no, I loved Undying. It was awesome. I played the crap out of it, and this season sucks. And that's, an opinion that you can have. That's fine. But for me, I mean, so much of the content that I enjoyed last season really was Shadowkeep. The plot so far here, like the lore that they've dropped this season, I feel like has been a lot more engaging, which gets me excited to play. So that could be influencing my enjoyment a little bit.
The lore has been phenomenal, but it's because it's based off one of the best characters in Destiny, which is Saint 14, and also one of the other best characters in Destiny, Osiris, who was one of the best characters until they actually brought him in Curse of Osiris, and then he was
Yeah.
kind of shitty. But I think they've done a good job of stepping him back up this season and making him actually sound impressive and smart and, kind of scary powerful like we're supposed to know. And Saint 14 has done a really good job of being scary powerful. I think my biggest thing is that this season seems set up a lot more for like a long-term but kind of slow-paced, like slow burn grind, right? Whereas Vex Offensive, it seemed like when the first week was done, it seemed like, well, there's probably not much else,
Yeah.
right? Like when I was done with Vex Offensive for the first time. And obviously we had the dungeon and we had the raid, but again, that's Shadowkeep, that's not really Season of the Undying. When Vex Offensive was done, I legitimately remember sitting back and being like, man, was that it? Like, is anything going to change? Are we going to get anything else? Like, what am I supposed to do for the rest of the season? And there wasn't really a ton, and so I ended up just
Play
doing the,
Shadowkeep is what
yeah, I, and
yeah.
I did the pinnacle weapon grind and stuff like that. And like, that's what I ended up spending most of the season doing, was trying to get to rank 100 on the season pass and then doing the pinnacle weapon grind. And like that's what I spend the majority of the season doing, because I, outside of grinding for dungeon rolls or Altar of Sorrow rolls or Garden of Salvation rolls, like I didn't feel like there was a ton to do. I got all the guns from Vex Offensive really quickly, and then it was like beat Vex Offensive once, and beat the Undying Mind, okay, and then I guess the only other thing that was left over was to get Undying the title, and that didn't really do it for me. It was a super grindy, kind of boring title, and I wasn't about it. But like, when you look at what we've got now in Season of Dawn, we've got the obelisks, and the obelisks have like a built-in grind right there on them, right? They've got these like
Yeah.
perks. You can like level up the obelisk and like increase these perks, and all these perks make your gameplay better, right? So you're looking at that and you're like, oh man, I really want that, right? Like it feels a lot like they looked at the menagerie and the things that we liked from the menagerie and from the Chalice of Opulence. And they were like, let's do something like that again. That was well received. And they've done it albeit on a smaller scale, but the sundial is like the menagerie light, and the obelisk are like the Chalice of Opulence light. And I really, really like that because Season of Opulence was actually one of my favorite Destiny seasons so far.
Yeah, I have to agree. I've really enjoyed what they've set up so far. I have finished the introductory quest. I have my artifact, and I've been taking a look at some of the perks, and I'm pretty excited for some of the build options. Well, I think probably have to save that for another day because I really haven't had time to sit and dig into them. But like some of the void stuff has me pretty pleased for PvE. Being able to dodge and get an overshield sounds phenomenal.
Now that you're a Night Stalker and you don't have to play as an Arcstrider anymore.
Yeah, suck it, Titans. So anyway, I'm pretty pleased with that. I guess I'm being forced to embrace mobility as a stat at this point, which I suppose I'm just gonna go with. I'm gonna roll with it.
Boo.
I'll let that hang.
Boo.
So
Even
yeah.
four glasses of wine deep, I didn't appreciate that, I don't think.
Well, look. All right. I've got the armament pants or whatever. So I'm gonna be. Let's just say I'm gonna be dropping a lot of bombs.
Oh my God. No.
I've.
Just no. Although I am jealous that you have those pants, because I really want those.
Like they dropped like the first hour that I was playing. Like I just there was an exotic Ingram in my Postmaster, and I went and picked it up because it wouldn't let me get it through Dim. So I went and grabbed it, and it was like, oh, pants,
I can
and I was like,
say I haven't
sweet.
been so excited for the exotics since Black Armory, I
These are
think.
good exotics. I'm
Yeah,
excited about them.
when we had Jotun and Lamonark, which is absolutely one of my favorite, and Izanagi's Burden, like those were like three great exotics, right? And now we've got a kinetic fusion rifle. We've got basically the plasma pistol from Halo. It's a sidearm that you can charge up and fire a blast, right? And then we've got Symmetry, which in its own way, it looked like it was going to be super OP at first. People were like, oh shit, a tracking two burst. Hasn't really been as OP in practice. Turns out it's pretty hard to get. So what happens is it's a 260 RPM, right? Which means it's the same as like Black Scorpion,
Yeah.
any of the rapid fires. It's the same as Randy's throwing knife. It's in the energy slot. So that means usually you're getting four crits in a body to kill. I think it does 47 to the head. So usually four crits in a body to kill or five crits. If you hit five crits, I believe the tracking bolts will kill in three, right? It is a much slower rate of fire. It's very similar to, oh geez, what's it called? Skyburner's Oath, in terms of the slower rate of fire when you're hip firing it. It will kill in three, which is nice, but not super, super great. And that's what most people will be able to activate consistently. Not even most people, but that's what good players will be able to activate consistently, is they'll get one kill and then they'll be able to activate the three burst. That's not really a problem. The one that's real quick is the two tap that kills you. And that requires, I think, eight headshots for
Wow.
you to activate the two tap, which basically means two full kills because you need time to activate it, right? Think about how many people have a 2.0 KD in this game.
Yeah.
Not very many. So the amount of people who can average getting two kills and then continue to use that gun and use that gun successfully is incredibly small, so to speak. And yeah, people will be able to go on streaks with it, but like first thing I did when I got it was took it right in a crucible, started using it, was able to get it going a couple of times, but really felt like it was almost more hassle than it was worth, and that I'd much rather just use my Randy's throwing knife with kill clip, which I absolutely love, or even my Black Scorpion with Rampage, since it didn't take up the exotic slot. But that being said, the fact of the matter is that people are having fun with the gun. I've seen a lot of people, even on Reddit, which is, it's hard to please Reddit. I've seen people on Reddit who are really, really, really happy with Symmetry. They're really enjoying it. They like it in PvE, they like it in PvP. And that's a good thing because something that Bungie's had a problem with in the past is building a gun that's fun but not overpowered. And I think they may have finally gotten the hang of it. Because they've now done a couple of things. Like Ariana's Vow is one. Ariana's Vow, I was really, really worried that if Ariana's Vow was done wrong, Ariana's Vow would be super overpowered because it's a hand cannon that can two tap and does 160 damage, right? But it's not. I mean, how often? I don't think anybody right now would argue that Ariana's Vow was overpowered. But at the same time, Ariana's Vow is still really fun to use and it has its usages and it's really strong in the right situations. And I think Symmetry is going to be something very similar. I think Symmetry is going to be really strong in the right situations, in the right hands, kind of similar to the throwing knife. I think the throwing knife is going to be really strong in the right situations, but throwing knife is an ability, not a weapon, so it's kind of a separate thing. But I think Bungie is getting better at balancing guns to be on the verge of really fun to use, pretty good, not overpowered. Even Monte Carlo, which in general, Monte Carlo was always like it had like a cult following, right? There were people who really, really loved Monte Carlo, but most people ignored it. And even right now, like Monte Carlo is probably the most popular auto rifle in the Crucible. I actually see Monte
Yeah.
Carlos pretty often, right? Because the ability to get your melee back is really, really nice to have, and it's not too terrible of a gun, right? And like that's where most exotics need to sit. Most exotics should have a cult following. Most exotics should have a group of people who absolutely love that gun and can do really well with it, can spec into it, can build into it. When I ran Ariana's Vow, I ran hand cannon scavengers, precision weapon targeting, hand cannon, what is it? Hand cannon ready speed or draw speed or whatever, hand cannon dexterity. Like I did everything I could for hand cannon, and then I used a empowering rift warlock, right? Like that shit is dirty. You're one tapping people with Ariana's Vow in your rift, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
it's also a ton of fun, but I had to spec into it, right? And you're not going to see too many people running into me thinking, oh, that shit's OP. They just think, wow, that guy has dedication to that playstyle. And that's how Exotic should be, right? And so I'm really happy to see that they've been successful at doing that recently. Where, when was the last time that we had an Exotic that was busted in the Crucible? It's probably Telesto, right?
I think that's probably... People, yeah, that's probably fair to say. Telesto was probably the last one that was even, like, semi-broken.
Yeah, and I obviously argue that Telesto wasn't broken because it was the perfect counter to the prevalent meta at the time, right? But now other stuff has gotten weaker, and Telesto would, at this point in time, be broken, I think. Because that's, Forgotten and, you know, the shotguns got nerfed, Not Forgotten got nerfed, Luna's Howl got nerfed. So I do believe that at this point, if Telesto were still where it was, it would be overpowered. So it sits in the meta. I mean, Jotun for a little bit, but they didn't change anything with Jotun, right? Like,
Jotun is still super annoying to play against. Yeah,
it is, but, you know, it's not the worst, right? Like, it's not the worst. Like, you're not constantly running into a game with three or four Jotuns and they're just all shooting off.
Yeah, it's usually like one person that I just have to avoid constantly because they're super annoying to fight. Or that I can't avoid because they seem to be following me around somehow.
It's just the Jotun that's following you.
Yeah. Vote for Odin. Kill all the ice giants. So that's where I stand on that. But yeah, no, I mean, I think you're right. I think the exotics are really good this time around. And the exotic armors, too, have me excited. Not because they're necessarily, like, broken, but because they're interesting. They do something different and kind of exciting in terms of, like, PvE gameplay especially, but where I'm kind of curious to see what can I do with this in PvP. You know, so, like, the Bombardiers, the new pants for the Hunter, I'm really excited to spec heavily into dodging just constantly and see if I can get some Bombardier kills. Like, that's what I want to do. Run up, shotgun, dodge, boom.
I'm really excited to get those. I think that might be... I'm back to using Knucklehead Radar right now because I was using Shards of Galanor for so long and now I'm not doing Blade Barrage anymore because I want to use the new throwing knife. And also, by the way, the aim assist bonus on Way of the Sharpshooter is super noticeable. It feels like D1 levels of sticky with Golden Gun, which is really, really nice. So I super appreciate that. But I basically was looking, and obviously when you pull out of collections, all the exotics have really shitty rolls. So I was like looking for what random rolled exotics I had in my vault, and I don't really have that many that I can use for Gunslinger on my Hunter. Yeah. So, oh, and also when I was using Ariana's Vow, I was using Lucky Pants as well. Which, yeah, so it was just like faster ready and stow speed for the hand cans, and super accuracy on your first hit, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So you basically get first glance and opening shot on Ariana's Vow. Which makes it really disgusting. That was when I was on my Hunter, but then I swapped my Warlock because I'm a horrible person.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Yeah, I'm real excited for Bombardiers, though. I think that's going to be, so much fun. Just dropping bombs everywhere.
Yeah. Just roll, drop a deuce.
Yeah, and then it explodes.
And then it explodes.
You're on those bad jokes tonight, I think.
I am. I think it's being a dad, like your jokes get worse, due to lack of sleep, brain damage, that kind of thing. I feel like the other classes got some good love too here, like the Warlock Prometheum Spur, while Daybreak is active, defeating combatants or guardians creates a healing and empowering rift at their location. Like, I mean, you're like covering the battlefield in rifts in PvE. That's pretty dope. You can just run anywhere and be healed and do more damage. I mean that's cool, like especially in a situation where you're dealing with a bunch of waves of enemies, and not everybody maybe is you know sticking close. Like I think that's really, really cool that you can just drop healing and extra damage all over the place. And then Severance Enclosure for Titans, defeating a guardian with a melee attack or a combatant with a finisher unleashes a damaging explosion. And this one I feel like is a little bit more limited than the other two, but I think one thing that it does is, It does give the Titans an extra tool for some AoE in situations where there are a lot of enemies. And it also, part of me kind of feels like it should be defeating a guardian or a combatant with a melee attack or a finisher unleashes a damaging explosion. But then again, that would be a little much. So, I feel like Bungie's really trying to highlight the finisher element that they added to the game. And I'm not sure entirely how I feel about it yet. I like finishers, and they certainly do save me some ammo at times. But on the other hand, a lot of times, like when I might use them, somebody just shoots the enemy, and I don't use them. So I'm mixed on this one, but I do feel like being able to shoulder charge somebody to have an explosion just feels very Titan to me.
It's kind of like the opposite of feedback fences, right?
Yeah.
Where feedback fences, you get punched and you release an explosion. This, you punch them and release an explosion. So I'm wondering how it's going to work with something like Hammer Strike, right?
Yeah.
Because Hammer Strike already kind of leaves, does an explosion, like it lights stuff on fire around it. So is this going to add on to that? Is it going to be bigger? I mean, I think. I'm interested to use it, but like I said, these are good exotics, it seems like, at least as far as I can tell. I haven't gotten any of them yet, but when I do, they at least look interesting. It makes me want to play to get the exotics. See, this, and we were just complaining about this, what, like 2 weeks ago, how I was saying that I was struggling to find motivation to play Destiny in certain areas because the stuff that was to be had didn't make the game more fun to play, right? Like, I didn't see the purpose. We talked about the feedback loop from D1. These things look like they're fun. So
Yeah.
therefore I want to play so I can get those things, so I can play with them, so I can have fun. And that's the loop right there, is that you see something and you're like, that would make me enjoy, that would make me have fun playing with this. You play so you can get that thing. Once you get that thing, it's fun, so you continue to play because it's fun to play with that thing. Right? And like that's the perfect cycle that they need. And for the first time, I'm legitimately like logging on to Destiny being like, what can I try to get now? Do I want to grind this weapon? Do I want to play an actual really good story mission? Like, do I want to try to unlock these perks on the obelisk? Do I want to just go play PvP and use that ridiculous linear fusion rifle glitch, which we still have yet to talk about, and get ammo for my heavy weapons with special weapon bricks?
Yeah, we're definitely holding off talking about that fusion rifle glitch. I feel like almost everyone's gonna know it by the time we say it, but yeah, no, I mean there is a lot to do. And I guess earlier I was talking about liking what they've set up here with the game, and I feel like we kind of took off on a talking about some other stuff, which is great. But the obelisks also have me really excited. I just wanted to say that I'm really pleased with them. I know I've seen some people on Twitter talking about things being grindy and having to go and do a whole bunch of stuff. And for me, it's like, well, I would, like that's the stuff that I kind of enjoy doing to a certain extent. But it feels better to do that stuff again when I'm gonna get something out of it. And so what Bungie has done is they've said, okay, well, a lot of people are doing this stuff anyway. Let's reward them for it. So, just go play the game and then get bonuses for doing it. And that's what I want to a certain extent out of Destiny. It's a looter shooter. It's a grindy game. When they took away the grind, people complain. A lot of people, vocally, with considerable ferocity. Like, we need some grind in the game. As long as, like you said, the feedback loop is there where that grind is then rewarded with something that's actually worth the time. And I feel like right now they're doing a lot of things that reward us for putting the time in to just play the game. You've got the season pass rewards. Every now and then you just boom, you just get a little nice reward that feels good. You've got the artifact that just again just rewards you just for playing. You get new mods to put on your armor and weapons, and pretty good odds. At least one or two of them are going to be exciting. Certainly, the various champion killing mods are very helpful, if not exciting. And now we've got the Obelisk, which is just giving you like passive gameplay bonuses and then also giving you the chance to unlock more mods that I haven't even had time to look at yet. So like, for me, this is exactly what makes the game fun to play and makes me want to log in. Is feeling like I can just pick an activity that I enjoy and knowing that that activity is going to, you know, benefit my character, reward me with better in gameplay experiences in the future. You know, it's the feedback loop. Like you said, I'm just kind of, I guess, putting it another way in my own words. So, wanted to go back and finish that thought from 20 minutes ago.
It was a good thought. It's a great thought. All right, what else about the Season of Dawn, besides the abject disappointment that there has been no Sparrow Racing League quite yet?
Yeah, so the sadness continues. For Sparrow Racing League, I think we probably need to hold an in-game cross-console memorial service for Sparrow Racing League.
Like a vigil where we all light candles and we stand around and emote.
We'll all, and then at midnight we'll all jump off the tower together.
What do you think the chances are that Trials secretly comes back this?
I mean, they've.
Did you see the post on Raid Secrets that showed a placeholder and it looked like a Trials card?
I didn't see that.
It was the guy was logged in at reset and it popped up when he tried to go into the Crucible and there was another spot for you to click and he scrolled over it and it said like placeholder beta. And then it had the, you know, the Trials blocks where it was like all the wins on the top and the three on the bottom for the losses. It had that, but it was purple. And then it disappeared when he went off of it. Could have been Photoshopped or it could have been Trials secretly being back. I mean, there would be no better time. And you remember that the last season in their reveal video, they showed Trials armor. And then they were like, oh, sorry, we weren't supposed to show that yet.
Yeah, I do recall that. I mean, I feel like the return of Trials is inevitable. People want it too badly for them to not give it to us. And they've already brought Elimination back. So really, the only thing that remains to do is for them to decide that they're comfortable with a version of Elimination as Trials, that they think that it won't be a shit show, to use my one swear word for the episode. And to commit and like just I'm sure they have the assets ready to go. I would bet several dollars that the holdup is that they are trying to decide what version of Elimination they want to use.
Several whole dollars.
Several dollars.
That you would bet.
Yeah.
Several dollars.
I would bet, you know, a significant number of dollars. Greater than 5, less than 15. I don't like to gamble, to be honest.
I wish I could say the same. Yeah. I love gambling, and I've discovered options in the stock market, and it's a huge problem. If any of you guys read Wall Street Bets, you know what a problem it can be. And I gambled my entire Christmas bonus on Apple puts, for those of you who know what that is, and I've lost like 100... Well, let's just say I've lost almost $200 in the last 6 hours, and I'm not super stoked about it. So, it's bad. It's real bad. So
this is why all of my investments just track the index, and then I move on.
Don't worry. I also have like a Roth 401k that I am not allowed to touch, and that I contribute, you know, 10% of my paycheck to, so that I will also have a real retirement fund when I lose all my money in investments. But I also designate a portion of each paycheck to going to stocks. And for many, many years, I had done nice conservative blue chip stocks. And I had done nothing but like Lockheed Martin and Johnson & Johnson. And then this year, I discovered options. And I was like, oh, those look easy. I can make a ton of money. And my first one, I lost $60 in like 40 minutes. And was like, oh, that was harder than I thought. My second one, I made like $130 in 30 minutes. And I was like, oh, this is great. And now my third one, I've lost almost $200 in a couple hours. So It's not as easy as you think it would be when you look at the numbers.
Well, there's our next IRL cast topic.
Yeah. Investment advice with Kutch and Merck.
Yeah.
Don't listen to any of it, please.
We are not registered investment advisors. Anyway, So I feel like trials is going to come back, I think, but I'm not willing to play the stock market over it coming back soon. I think it will be back in the next couple of seasons.
It has to be, or else.
Yeah, right. But meantime, I'm still super excited looking at the Season of Dawn launch calendar because there's a lot lined up for us to look forward to right now. And I know that for PvP people, this is less exciting, and I'm sorry about that. But I mean, I feel like there's a lot of good stuff still lined up. Sometimes I'm a little disappointed when they use time gates, but on the other hand, I also appreciate things being spaced out so that I can actually focus on and enjoy them. So I feel like there's kind of a balance to be struck there, and it remains to be seen whether they've struck the right balance in this season, but I do feel like they have a full calendar lined up for us, which is a good thing and hopefully a good sign.
Well, they're also helped out by the fact that they get the dawning in this season, right? So like that kind of, what did we have in season of the Undying? It was Festival of the Lost. Well,
Yeah.
Festival of the Lost is one of the, it's not the weakest. I would think that
Crimson Days,
Crimson
yeah.
Days is the
Which we
weakest.
also get in this season. So there's a twofer.
Yeah, well, there you go. So that's like a free bonus. I think Crimson Days is probably the weaker of the ones, but we get the Dawning, which is usually the strongest of the events that they do. It's one of the longest lasting for sure. And also something that I've actually really appreciated, last season, it felt like and I know Eververse is its own controversial topic. We talked about this last week, but last season I felt like if I didn't pay money, I was not going to get an ornament. Just straight up, I wasn't going to get one, right? This season, they have split it to where some of the ornaments are silver only and the rest of the ornaments will be sold for Bright Dust. That actually means something to me because the ornaments are really the only thing I care about from Eververse. And so, me not getting the ornaments kind of, sucked and also took all the joy away from Eververse. Now, I still wish that Eververse, that stuff we got from Eververse, the Ingrams, dismantled into Bright Dust, it has completely made me not care about Brown Ingrams anymore. Like,
Yeah.
I literally don't care about them at all. They're useless to me. I wish they dismantled into Bright Dust. Even if you didn't have to rebuy the stuff from collections with Bright Dust, which I agree with, it would be nice if they dismantled into Bright Dust. But, that's neither here nor there. But I think Eververse has shifted ever so slightly in the right direction. I'm going to continue holding out my microtransaction money until they have shifted back fully in the direction that I want, which is I want to be able to get almost everything just by playing. Now, granted, by playing a shit ton, but by playing a lot, right? Or realistically, if they were to say, the next season of whatever, there's a $10 season pass, or you can buy a $30 season pass and you get everything in Eververse, right? And then I would just do that. Because I don't want to be nickel and dime, but I don't mind paying a lump sum to just buy all of it. Or,
Yeah.
or even if they said, hey, Season of the Undying, next season you'll get 1,000 silver as part of the rank up of the season pass, right? Like we talked about that before. I think that's by far the best option.
Yeah. Yeah. It,
Use it, let me buy the next season or let me buy stuff from Eververse.
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind if there was a lump sum unlock everything from this season. That would be a lot more appealing to me than having to pick and choose and what if I miss the thing that I want? Like it's just for me, I just don't even look 'cause it's just too much work. It's more work than I'm interested in doing to buy a cosmetic item in a video game. Like, that's just how I feel about it. Like, I won't put that much work in to buy a cosmetic item in real life, so I'm not going to do it in a video game.
Right.
Yeah.
I look at it like there should be three tiers of the video game, right? There should be the free to play,
Yeah.
in which case all of that shit you have to pay for because you're not paying to play the game. So anything like that, you probably just need to pay for with your own money. There should be the middle tier, which is you pay a normal amount and the stuff you have to grind to unlock it, right? Like imagine if every single thing that was in Eververse was on the season pass. but the season pass was like $20, right? But everything in the Eververse store was on the season
Pretty
pass.
sweet.
And then so people who didn't pay for the season pass would just have to buy it from the Eververse store, right? People who paid for the season pass would unlock it as they played through the season pass. And then there's like a $30 version that you just got all that stuff. You didn't have to play to unlock it, it just gave it all to you, right? You could just have it right in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, I'd go for something like that. That'd be cool. That'd be worth my time and money. And it's not complicated, which is like, not that Eververse is like super complicated, but it's not core gameplay. And I spend so much time navigating menus, I just have no interest right now.
And there's so much shit in Eververse too. There's so many sparrows and so many ghosts, and it's like I don't even give a shit about any of this stuff. Like the stuff I care about, finishers, emotes, ornaments.
Yeah.
Like sometimes exotic ghost shells because they look pretty cool, sometimes exotic sparrows because they look pretty cool. I don't give a shit about these legendary sparrows and legendary ghost shells. Give the legendary sparrows to Amanda. We need some reason to go talk to her. Give the legendary ghost like Ikora or something. All right, and then let us buy them for legendary shards and glimmer. So we have a glimmer sink and a legendary shard sink. And like, just, man, I wish that there was more of those ornamental things available in game and less of them available in Eververse, even if the prices were like crazy high on the ones that were in Eververse, right? Like, imagine that there's five ornaments, exotic ornaments coming in. And like four of them are earned in game, and one of them is in Eververse, like a super badass one. And the one in Eververse is, $10 or something like that. But it's just the one, right? I wouldn't feel so bad about buying just one. And that's more money than I'm gonna spend this season in Eververse, because I'm not gonna spend any money in Eververse this season.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll spend a tiny amount because I wanna show them they're going in the right direction, right? Like, that's, I feel like, the way you should do it. If you hate it, you spend no money. If they've made a positive change, you spend a tiny bit of money. And if you really like the way it's going, then you spend more money.
How you vote with your dollars, folks. Again, financial advice from Merk and Kutch. But what I was gonna say is I'm really excited to find out, what the rest is that they have in store for us. It sounds like the dawning. There's not going to be a whole lot of big changes from last year. Just more of the same, which is fine. It's not SRL, but it's fine. I'm not crying right now. I'm really curious to find out more about this Empyrean Foundation that's lined up for February. That's so far away. I don't even know if I'm going to be alive in February. Like, it feels so far away right now.
I hope you're alive in
Yeah.
February. I'll be a very, very lonely podcast host otherwise.
I just mean, like, it feels Christmas is very overwhelming for me right now. It's because my wife has so many brothers and sisters, and I have so many brothers and sisters and a child and a nephew, and like there's just a lot of Christmas shopping this year.
It's just a
It feels
lot.
like there's so much going on. February feels like it's decades from now. So I want it to hurry up and be here because I like new stuff. But yeah, like I'm pretty happy with the way the calendar looks right now and the way the game looks going forward, aside from the lack of SRL.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
It's good to be positive about things for a little bit.
Speaking of underused weapon archetypes, I noticed that the Dawning has an SMG coming in. So we'll see if it's better than Avalanche or worse than Avalanche, which you can also grind for Avalanche rolls.
Wait, you mean an LMG? You said an SMG, like a
I
submachine
did,
gun.
yes. And Avalanche was somewhat disappointing as a weapon.
Yeah, it was yeah, the worst of the machine guns by
I mean, at
far.
the time it was like, well, it's a machine gun, so I'll take it.
Yeah, but now we've got a lot.
Yeah.
We have Hammerhead, which is basically the greatest machine gun
Yeah, it's
ever,
all you need.
obviously. Yeah, still. And then we have I mean, we got some other ones. I personally like 21% Delirium. I think that's actually a really good gun. I think it's overrated, or it's
Yeah.
underrated. I think people ignore the lightweight machine guns because Hammerhead, but I think it's actually really good.
Hammerhead makes a strong argument for itself. And that's really my point. Like, Avalanche really didn't, I think, make a lasting impression as a weapon. You can grind for it again this year, whoop-de-doo. So what I'm hoping is that with Cold Front, they maybe have learned some things about event weapons, and maybe it'll come in and actually be an interesting weapon to pursue. So that's all. I was being trying to be hopeful, trying to say maybe this year will be better.
Not allowed, unacceptable.
Yes. I apologize. I'll take my positive thoughts back to Twitter, where they're definitely not
You know,
welcome.
they're also bringing, they're also, did they bring all of the, they didn't bring all of the weapons back, did they? The like Infinite Paths 8 and Traveler's Judgment 5, they didn't bring all of them back, did they? They just brought a
I
selection of
believe
them
they said they
back.
brought a selection, yeah. They've added some back in.
So they brought Perfect Paradox.
Of course.
They brought Jack Queen King 3, which is the 150 RPM hand cannon, which I know people are liking right now.
I really wanted to like that when it first came out, and I just wasn't super happy with it. So I'm curious to see if it turns out better this time.
They brought back Infinite Paths 8, which is a lightweight, which we don't have a ton of those, which is a lightweight pulse rifle. So if you guys are fans of not Nightwatch,
Nightshade.
Nightshade. Yeah, if you guys are fans of Nightshade, it's similar to that. And then they also brought back Traveler's Judgment 5. Did I do a Curse of Osiris? Did I do a weapons breakdown of this?
Yeah.
This would make it really easy to do a weapons
Yeah, you
breakdown of
did.
these. I could just take the same weapons breakdown, but with random rolls this time.
Yeah. Copy pasta.
Traveler's Judgment 5 was one of my favorite guns back when Curse of Osiris first came out, because it was one of the Omalon adaptive. It was a burst sidearm,
Yeah.
but I think it had Headseeker, which made it real dirty. And this one, ooh, it's got some good rolls. Yeah, I think maybe we should do a maybe post-Christmas. So I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna take next week off. I'm gonna be traveling the entire week for work, which is unfortunate for me because I don't really want to be doing that, but I have to. And then the following week is Christmas. So I think Christmas is on what, a Wednesday?
I believe it is.
So we could probably then, the day after Christmas, do an episode if you're going to be available for that.
Yeah, I think either that Thursday or Friday, I think we can make something happen.
There you go. So maybe the post-Christmas episode, the Christmas treat, will be we'll break down some of the returning weapons.
The winter holiday special. We'll wear sweaters and drink hot chocolate.
Eggnog for me. I do
Okay.
love eggnog.
All right.
I do love eggnog.
My wife never buys it, so I have to go out and buy it myself.
Same.
She shops more, but
My girlfriend thinks eggnog is the devil and hates it more than anything, and so I buy myself a nice big jug of eggnog and it's just for me and nobody steals it.
I see we're in a similar situation here. I love the pre-spiked stuff 'cause it just plays to the lazy side.
I tried to make myself spiked eggnog once and what was it that I did? I didn't have the appropriate liquor.
Oh boy.
So I used like rum or something and it was disgusting. It was actually awful. And I had made a huge amount of it too. So I wasted a lot of rum and a lot of eggnog and I was really upset about that. So, yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Very disappointing.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. Well, we got anything else to talk about? Or are you ready to call it a night?
I think we've officially run out of things to say.
Alrighty, Guardians, we will see you after Christmas. Have a very happy season of dawn, have a very happy beginning of the dawning, and have a very happy rest of 2019.
All right, peace.
All right, bye.